Gemara introduces us twice over the course of the Masechta to Birkas Torah, Daf Yud Aleph and Daf Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph was the Mokker. Yud Aleph gave us some of the details. Chaf Aleph put, in the third parak, put Birkas Torah side by side, with incredibly parallel with Birkas HaMazon. Birkas HaMazon l'achareaz min HaTorah, Birkas HaTorah l'faneaz min HaTorah, Birkas HaMazon is rooted in a pasuk in Ekev, v'chalta v'savata v'irachta, Birkas HaTorah is rooted in a pasuk in Ha'azinu, k'shem Hashem ekra havu godel le'elokeinu. And the Ramban points out, there you have it. It's a mitzvah saseh. Didn't the Raisa mitzvah say, what's not to like? Why would the Rambam not count it as a mitzvah? That's what the Ramban wonders. Ramban does, as we saw, it's mitzvah number 15. Out of the 17 mitzvahs asay, which he politely says the Rambam forgot to count, mitzvah number 4, of course, is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah number 15 is Birkas HaTorah. Even the Sefer HaChinuch, who we've had chances to explore other times, who counts and explores the mitzvahs. You remember, he's the Sefer HaMitzvahs who is uniquely al Seder HaParshos, uniquely, I don't know, somewhat uniquely anonymous, and uniquely interested in both the halacha and the hashkafa, the contribution, thematic contribution of every mitzvah. His minyan hamitzvahs, he uses exclusively that of the Rambam. He arranges the mitzvah, he uses the exact enumeration of the Rambam, reorganizes the Seder HaParshios, but everyone's in a very long while, he will point out, well, but the Ramban disagreed. And here's one of those places, actually in Mitzvah Taf Lamed, in Birkas HaMazon, in Parshas Ekev, he says, there's another mitzvah d'oraisa, which is Birkas HaTorah, and the Ramban even counted it as a mitzvah. So he doesn't present it separately. Mitzvah Taf Lamed 4:30 is Birkas HaMazon, but within the discussion of Birkas HaMazon, he puts in a discussion of Birkas HaTorah. Because although he decided from a design standpoint that he would build his sefer on the Rambam's count, it seems like he was Mibes Mujashu Sar Ramban, and he personally was taken by the Ramban Shita. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Why didn't the Rambam count it? And we saw, it is very surprising. The Rambam does not count it. The Rambam does talk about Birkas HaTorah, but as a detail, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tefillah, in the discussion of Seder HaTefillah, after he discusses other Birkas HaShachar, before he discusses Pesukei Dezirma, it's strange. Very strange. As we saw, he does not count it as one of the mitzvahs of tefillah, does not count one of the mitzvahs of bir brachos, the way the Sefer HaChinuch is essentially trying to do. He doesn't count it as one of the mitzvahs of Talmud Torah. And Ramban pointed out, it's not part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It ought to be a separate mitzvah, like Mikra Bikurim, Havas Bikurim, two separate mitzvahs, like Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim and Achilas Karban Pesach, or for that matter, Achilas Matzah, they're all separate mitzvahs. And the Rambam indeed does not count it as a part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or else he would have put the halachos in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He doesn't. Strange. And we saw, to make that even more challenging, the Rambam builds all of Hilchos Brachas, and this will bring us back to Ketzim Mevarchin also. The Rambam builds all of Hilchos Brachas as an expansion, drabbanan expansion on the Doraisa root of Birkas HaMazon. He opens the Birkas HaMazon and tells you right away in the first couple of halachos, the mitzvah Doraisa of Bracha, bracha achrona on bread, and then you also have other brachas achronos on food, you have brachas rishonos on food, and different types of food, and other hanos, like reyach, and even have birkas mitzvahs, and then he mentions there's also something called birkas shachar v'hoda, and then as we saw, over the course of the prakim, the 11 prakim of Hilchos Brachas, it's clear that everything is an expansion of birkas hamazon. It's all k'endoraisa birkas hamazon. That's probably why, as he suggested, he puts Brachas Rishonos on Dagon foods in Paragimel, and Birkas HaPeres in Parakas, because Brachas Rishonos on Dagon foods in Paragimel part of the mass of Dinim about bread. Even Birkas HaMitzvahs is all part of this bigger picture. If in Perek Yud Aleph. If Birkas HaTorah belongs right there, beginning of Perek Aleph with brachos, there Shem said there are two brachos daraisa. Very, very strange. So that omission by the Rambam, he doesn't omit the dinim of Birkas HaTorah, but the way he positions them, he omits their significance. He doesn't count it as a mitzvah, doesn't give its central billing at the heart, at the opening of Birkas Hilchos Brachos, the way he gives to Birkas HaMazon. The positioning in Hilchos Tefillah, in the details of the Seder of Shacharis, very, very strange. That's one massive question, which again the Ramban begins, and the Sefer Chinuch begin to ask the Rambam. The more you look at the way the Rambam does, what he does and doesn't do with Birkas HaTorah, the more strange it is. Another problem had been, just Tzarech Biur, the Rimachlokas Amoraim, and the Machlokas, we've shown him how to understand it, about which one of the main details of Birkas HaTorah and Daf Yud Aleph was in four Machlokas Amoraim, which parts of Torah call for a Birkas HaTorah. And the whole question strikes us as odd, in part because we're not used to it, because we know halacha l'maisa, so we make Birkas HaTorah and everything. But also conceptually, what do you mean you don't have a Birkas HaTorah on Torah? Why only Torah Shebichtav? And then we saw, not only are there some Amoraim who explicitly limit Birkas HaTorah to Mikra, or maybe Mikra and Medrash, which is Mikra adjacent, but even when you get to the most broad Shita, which we paskin like, that all of Torah, Mikra, Medrash, Mishnah, Talmud, it all requires argur, so that's the Shita of Rava, and that's how we paskin. So there too, the Machlokas are showing him, but what does it mean? What does it mean? And the Rabbeinu Yon understands it as, even Talmud is also Mikra adjacent. All of Torah is Mikra adjacent. While Rashi and the Rambam seem to thoroughly reject that. No. The Rava is disagreeing fundamentally. I don't care. I mean, I care about Mikra, but Torah Shebichtav versus Torah Shebaalpeh is an irrelevant distinction when it comes to Birkas HaTorah. That was problem number two. Well, what does all that mean? I don't understand. Torah is Torah. Why would there be more of a bracha in Torah Shebichtav as opposed to Torah Shebaalpeh? So what's the Rambam doing? Number one, what's the Rambam doing with downplaying the significance of Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah? The positioning, not counting it. Number two, and this one, the Rambam actually was easier to understand in terms of how you understand the scope of the bracha. We understand the Rambam, Bein Torah Shebichtav, Bein Torah Shebaalpeh. We understand Rashi. Gemara is the Iker, is a core part of Limud. Shemimenu Hora Yotze. The position of Bein Yonah, very hard. And the position of the other Amoraim, who L'chol Deis B'Rishonim, the earlier Amoraim in the list, are limited to Mikra. What does it mean? So both those problems may yield to exploring this double machlokas, gra and mechaber. And that's what we had left off last time. That the gra attacks two different psakim of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Mem Zayin, the Siman in Arachayim about Birkas HaTorah. And he attacks them in what seem like opposite directions. In one, he thinks that the mechaber is too limiting in terms of Birkas HaTorah, and the other one he thinks the Mechaber is too broad in terms of the applicability of Birkas HaTorah. One was in Sifim Gimel and Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, both assume that Birkas HaTorah does not apply to Talmud Torah Behirhur. If you're just thinking and learning, Ramah says even if you say a psak, but you don't articulate the thinking behind it, if it remains in your head, if it's not spoken, as the Shulchan Aruch said, and it's not written, you're not expressing the Talmud Torah, there's no bracha. There's no bracha. And the Gra says, what on earth? Shakasari has a raya, actually. Shakasari and Tshuva supports the Shulchan Aruch. He says, you look back at the whole sugya of Balkari, the Gemara seem to be assuming that you're not saying Avar Abba, even though the fellow is thinking through the words of Kriyashma. So that's here, Herbidivri Torah. And the Gemara never raises the issue that he should be Mahara Ba'avar Abba because he needs the Birkas HaTorah. Okay, so the Shagazari thinks the Gemara supports the Rambam. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is regardless of whether you speak it or write it or just think it. Clearly, it's not Bittul Torah to just listen to a shir without speaking up. You have things to say, by all means, you should raise your hand and ask questions. Let's make it Freilich. But if you choose to pay attention, think about things carefully, but not speak up, it's not Bittul Torah. You're fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Gra says, why wouldn't there be a bracha? So there in Sifim Gimel and Dalet, Sif Dalet in particular, the Gra thinks Shulchan Aruch is overly narrow in his application of Birkat Torah. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch demand, again, the Mechaber is just another name for the Shulchan Aruch, the author of Yosef Karo? Why did the Gra want to know, why didn't the Mechaber demand Birkat Torah even for Hihur? And on the other hand, 10 Sifim later, the last Sif, Sif Yud Dalet, the Gra more subtly insinuates, indicates, that he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch is too broad in his application of Birkas HaTorah. Because the Shulchan Aruch, what does Shulchan Aruch say in Sif Yud Aleph? Who has to even... Right, both men and women have to say Birkas HaTorah. A woman is not mechuyevus to learn every day. She is mechuyevus to know all the dinim and hashkafa, halacha hashkafa that are relevant for her Jewish practice, but she's not mechuyevus to learn on a daily basis. So she's certainly not mechuyevus to learn those areas halacha that are not applicable to her. So if a woman chooses to learn, so the Shulchan Aruch says, well, then she should say Birkas Torah. Okay, and what's wrong with that? Does Moshe or anyone else want to explain why that's problematic? What's challenging about the fact that the Mechaber demands that a woman who's volunteering to learn say Birkas Torah, yeah? Right, exactly. Because the Shulchan Aruch holds, because the Sephardi position, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and contemporary Sephardi practice, is that when you volunteer a mitzvah, you do not make a Birkas mitzvah. You cannot say Vitzivano. God did not command me to do this. I'm volunteering to do it. So then, if she wants to volunteer to learn Torah, okay. But to say Birkas Torah, Chas V'Shalom, Brachel V'Tala, Lufi, the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, and we saw in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, disagrees, in line with Rabbeinu Tam and the other Baal Yatosas, and in line with contemporary Ashkenazi practice, that if a woman volunteers, and presumably it's not a question of a woman, if one has, but the most common situations are women, when one is volunteering to do a mitzvah that one is not obligated to do, so Asfaradim say no bracha, and Ashkenazim say, do say a bracha. You're not going to do the mitzvah at all. And obviously, you're not going to do the mitzvah, you're not going to say a bracha. But once you choose to volunteer the Ma'aseh Mitzvah, so then Ashkenazim say you can and probably are obligated to make the Birkas HaMitzvah that goes along with that mitzvah. Vitzivanu for the Ashkenazim probably means Vitzivanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jewish people. He did not say command me, but he commanded us. The Jewish people are commanded. Jewish people have the chiyuv of Netil Asulav. This woman doesn't, but the Jewish people do. And she is participating in the mitzvah that Hashem gave us, that Hashem commanded us. So whatever the explanation is for the Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and Rambam, fact remains that the Sephardic position, and the Shulchan Aruch says it clearly, is that women who volunteer mitzvahs don't make a bracha on that mitzvah. So how is it that the Shulchan Aruch seems to contradict himself when he turns around in Siman Mem Zayin and says, Nashim Evarchos Birkas HaTorah. And so the Magen Avraham tried to say, well, it means that she's learning the dinim that she needs to know. The Gra says that might be true, but that's not something you would make a bracha on. That's a Heksha Mitzvah. We pass like the Bavli, that you do not make a bracha when you build a sukkah. You do not make a bracha when you tie tzitzis. Those are important Heksheri Mitzvah, but they're not the Mitzvah itself. Gemara and the Bavli and sukkah is clear. You only make a bracha on the Gemara Mitzvah, on the actual Maisa Mitzvah itself. So it is true that in order for a woman to be honest in business, she needs to know Chosh Mishpat. It is true that in order for a woman to say brachas properly, she has to learn Hilchos brachas. In order to be able to keep Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, and Mishpacha, you got to learn Hilchos Shabbos, and Bas B'chal, and Nida, and so on and so forth. True, but that's not the mitzvah. That's the learning is the Heksha mitzvah. So that doesn't call, that doesn't warrant a bracha. So that's what the Gra says. No, this is Tosfos. This is Tosfos' Shita. This is Ashkenazi Shita. Point being, the Shulchan Aruch shouldn't have said it. If the Ramah would have said in Siman Mem Zayin, Nashim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah, that would have been consistent and coherent. But the Shulchan Aruch said it. He's contradicting himself. The source of the Shulchan Aruch is the Sefer HaTorah. Agur, a late Ashkenazi Rishon. So he understandably said that Nashim Mevarach was Birkas HaTorah because that's the Ashkenazi approach. But why is Shulchan Aruch calling him? So that's a double machlokas, Shulchan Aruch and Gra, or the double kasha, that the two attacks the Gra has on the Shulchan Aruch. On the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch should have demanded Birkas HaTorah on Hirur, and on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch, Lishitaso, should not have told Sephardic women to make Birkas HaTorah. So what's going on? So the truth is, the Minchas Chinuch Rebbe begins to talk about this. I mentioned that the Sefer HaChinuch talks about Birkas HaTorah and Mitzvah Tav Lamed, the Mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. So the Minchas Chinuch talks about this a little bit. It is most famously a comment by Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, and I actually made copies, he's actually a Reb Chaim. This is an official written format of something by Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim never said, which is rare. Usually there are two presentations of Reb Chaim. You have his Sefer, Chedushei Beinu Chaim Alevi on Rambam, which was published after his death, but it's his, it's what he was working on, what he wrote during his lifetime. And then you have the stencils, the Chedush Agrach, which are sheer notes of Talmidim, which, like any set of sheer notes, as you know, sheer notes are sometimes great and sometimes okay and sometimes not great. Definitely not the same as the original. So this is sort of in between, because here you have Reb Chaim, written not by Reb Chaim, but by a member of the Soloveitchik family. Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, Briskarov, quotes his father. This is the end of, you've seen this Sefer Hope in the past, and you will mix them again in the future. This is Reb Velvel's Sefer, Chedushei Maran Riz Halevi, Reb Velvel's Sefer on Rambam, which he wrote and was published, I believe, posthumously after his death as well, the minig of the Taka. He has one piece on Hilchos Brachos. He's talking about different machlokas, Rambam and Tosfos, not for now. Also a machlokas and Maseches Brachos about Brachos HaMenhagim. But then, in the final paragraph, the beginning of the final paragraph, he refers to this issue. Vihine. We'll see a couple lines inside. They already ask a question about the fact that the women say Birkas HaTorah. They, meaning the Gra, attacks the Shulchan Aruch. But Peturos mitalmud Torah, but they're Peturos. Uva Yoser, so if they're Peturos, even if they're going to volunteer the mitzvah, why are they making a bracha? Uva Yoser, Kasha, listen to how the Brisker Rav expresses the Kasha before you see his Teretz. Uva Yoser, Kasha, Das HaRambam. He doesn't refer to the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch's original source, the Rambam, the Paragimel Hilchos Tzitzis, Da'al Mitzvah Shanoshin Peturos Einan Rashos Levarechen. That's where the Rambam formulates the Shita, that you don't make, specifically women, it's nothing to do with women in particular, one does not make a bracha on a mitzvah that one is volunteering but not obligated to do. The Eich Yivarchu Birkas HaTorah came into Peturos, Mitalmud Torah. They're not obligated to learn, so even if they're opting to learn, but why would they make a Birkas HaTorah? Vishamati says, this kasha predates me. This kasha predates my father. It's the Gra's kasha on the Shulchan Aruch. Vishamati mipi Adoni Avi Mori Virabi. That's that Aleph Aleph Mem Vav Resh. Admor with a Dalid, the way you usually say a Rebbe. Brisker Rav is not referring to his father as a Chassidish Rebbe. That would be ironic. He is referring to him as Adoni Avi Mori Virabi. Hagon HaChassid. He does call him a chassid, not the, with a capital ches, with a lowercase ches. Not that he was a follower of the Baal Shem Tov. Man, he was a holy Jew. Adoni Avi Mori Rabbi Adon Achassid. Wow, Zecher Tzadik V'Karish Lavracha L'Chai Halam Haba. That's a beautiful, beautiful honorifics. So he says, I heard from my Halakha father, Reb Chaim, Sha'amar, here we go. Bibirka, you have to understand what he means though. Bibirka says, Torah Ein HaBracha Al Kiyum HaMitzvah Shel Talmud Torah. The Birkas HaTorah is not a bracha on being mekayim in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Rak, to hu din b'fnei atzma, it's a separate din, it's an independent din, the Torah by bracha. Torah requires a bracha. It's not a bracha on the mitzvah, it's a bracha on Torah. At first you're like, well, okay, well, that's right, that's what we said. It's a bracha on Torah, I mean, it's still on Torah. Said, no, Torah requires a bracha, what does that mean? That's that Gemara Daf Chafalf, the drasha, the source in Psukim for Birkas HaTorah. Im Kein Ein Zetz, what do you see from there? Ein Zetz Din Sheshayach La Mitzvah Klal. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Rak De Torah Atzma Teuna Bracha. Torah itself requires bracha. And here's going to dig in even further into the Sprach. For those who enjoy brisk Sprach, you can buckle your seatbelts. Nashim Peturas Rak Me'a Mitzvah Shal Talmud Torah. Women are putter from the mitzvah. Be'ein Mufkos Me'etzma Chetza Shal Talmud Torah. But they're not disconnected from the Chetza of Talmud Torah, just from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Ve'limudam Havi Bechal Talmud Torah. Ve'shapir Yesh Levarach Ha'limudam. Of course they make a bracha in their learning. Kevin de law sinan al zem mikach lasad the kiyam mitzvah kol. It has nothing to do with the kiyam mitzvah ad kan devarv. That's what my father said. Reb Chaim, Reb Briskrav is calling Reb Chaim that Birkas HaTorah, you see from Daf Chaf Aleph, you see from Kishem Hashem Ekra, that Birkas HaTorah is not a bracha on the mitzvah, it's a bracha on the chefza of Torah. And women might not have the mitzvah, but they do have the chefza. And therefore they say a bracha. What does that mean? Yeah. Okay, that's a good question. Let's hold on to that. That's a fantastic what if question. Let's hold on to that for a moment. Although maybe you're driving at an important point also, at a fundamental conceptual point. So what's Reb Chaim saying? Oh, it's not a, there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah, there's a chetzah of Talmud Torah. Obviously, you don't mean literally, like, this sefer. What do you mean, the chetzah of Talmud Torah? And why should it matter? What does it even mean? Why is a consequence of that? Therefore, women have to say Talmud Torah. And why is this derived from, why is this flow from, what does Kishem Hashem Ekra show you? Yeah.
So, I think he's saying that the bracha that we're saying now is not saying, it's not the commandment to learn, that's why we're saying the bracha and then the learning. The learning itself, there's something to the learning itself that whoever's learning it has to say bracha.
Oh,
it's
good.
Like a rainbow.
I'm making a bracha on the learning. I'm not making a bracha on the mitzvah of learning. Right, so let's understand the more. Like a rainbow. Fantastic. So this is explicated a little bit more in a couple of more recent achrom, already in the 1900s at this point, with the Brisker Rav. So one is the Mishnas Yavetz, who I already mentioned, Rav Tzal Zhulti, in his Shiurim on Shavuos. Another is, I think we had a chance to meet Rav Aryeh Pomeranchuk in the past. Rabbi Leib Pomeranchuk, we have couples from him. The most famous one is probably Emek Bracha. Rabbi Leib Pomeranchuk, he also has a Torah Zraim and the Yeg HaAryeh. Rabbi Leib Pomeranchuk, I believe, was a boy who grew up. He grew up as a boy in the town of Brisk. Brisk was like a real town. It wasn't just a conceptual framework. It's a real town of Brisk. Like families and houses and cows and farms. And he grew up. He was one of the... Young Aryeh Leib grew up in the town of Brisk. So he actually learned by Revelvel apparently for years. Most fellows who came to learn by Revelvel Soloveitchik, so you were learning whatever yeshiva you were learning, and you came to like have the experience to get a zman or two with Revelvel, then you went back. You were learning in Mir, Upanavish, or Tels, or Slabodka, wherever, and you came to Brisk, you chapped the Rhine a few months with Revelvel, then you went back to where you came from. Aryeh Leib Pomeranchuk, he grew up in Brisk. He apparently, I don't know for how many years, he was one of the 11 seats at Revelvel's table, but apparently he had opportunities to talk and learn with Revelvel for many, many years. So Emek Brach in particular is his sefer on brachas and moed, on Or Chaim topics and related Yerdei topics. And he quotes Reb Chaim Revelvel extensively. A lot of very helpful sort of unpacking of what's going on by Reb Chaim Revelvel. The very first piece in the Sefer. The first topic in the Sefer is Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah is Siman Alf. He quotes, Shamati, I heard from Haggai Vid Mibrisk, he heard from Revelvel, this idea. And he explains more. Sal Zhulti explains more, Stipler, I think, also explains a little bit more, that what Reb Chaim is saying, it's a non-bracha on the mitzvah, it's a bracha on the chefza shel Torah. So what you said about the rainbow is very, very significant. It's not, to use the Rambam's categories from the beginning of the first parak of brachas, it's not a birkas mitzvah. It's sort of like a birkas shavach v'hoda. it's a bracha, and we have to understand what that means. So the way I think the best way to understand it, and then the Ramban begins to fall into place, then the Mechaber begins to fall into place, maybe both Mechabers begin to fall in place, then maybe Daf Yirala falls into place, and then we'll see how everything begins to become very, very coherent. The Gra, let's put it this way. What's common to both of the Gra, I think we left off of this at the cliffhanger last time. What's the common thread in both of the Gra's attacks on the Rambam is the assumption that this Torah is a Birkas HaMitzvah. If it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, so then women, it should depend on the Machlos Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, whether women say it or not. And if it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, so what was the Gra's, vociferous attack on Sif Dalet? What do you mean? Kol Zetzar Achiyim. Are you going to deny your Makayim Talmud Torah Behirer? That's untenable. No one would say that I'm the only person being Makayim Talmud Torah now. By being silent, you're being about the Torah. The Gra says that's untenable. The Hagisa Yom Valayla, Hegyon Libi. Higayon doesn't mean speech. That's Imre P. Higayon means thought. So the Hagisa Yom Valayla doesn't mean you should speak in Torah day and night. It means you should think about Torah day and night. So that's the mitzvah. So what will Shulchan Aruch respond? Not that you're being mevatel Torah if you're not speaking, but that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. I'm not mechuyev to eat bread, but if you eat bread, you have to make a birkas hamazon. I'm not mechuyev. It's not about the mitzvah. I'm not mechuyev. More to the point, perhaps at least for now, I'm not mechuyev to hear the thunder, to see the lightning. But if I do see the bolt coming down, so I respond with an osem asabrashis, with a shekocho gvraso male olam. Why? You encounter the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his physical universe, that calls for a response. You say, wow, awesome, astrobracious. We discussed this in the very first sugi of the year, back in El, when we're talking about Birkas Harris. Is the Birkas Harris in the bracha on the mitzvah of getting married? That's what Ram says, getting married is in of itself a mitzvah, and Birkas Harris is a Birkas HaMitzvah, the mitzvah. Whereas the Rush says, getting married is highly recommended, but it's not in that. It may be a heksher to all sorts of other wonderful things to come, but the Rush denied that getting married is in and of itself a Maisa mitzvah. And he said, Birkas Harrison is not a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a Birkas HaVodah. You see the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual creation. Look at this gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so we can elevate. We can make this part of our lives that we share with the entire animal kingdom. We can make it such a vehicle for spiritual elegance and elevation. Wow. For spiritual beauty, for a happy, healthy, holy life. Wow. That calls for a Birkas HaVodah. Even though it starts with an Asher Kedishan V'Sosav V'Tzivan. The truth is, Minchas Chinuch already says this as well. He says, it's a Birkas Shavach. It's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. And that's presumably where that's how the later Achron understand what Revelvo is coined for B'chaim also. The Emek Bracha just says, both, that's what Brisk Rav said, that's what the Minchas Chinuch says, it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a Birkas Shavach V'Odah. So neither men nor women are mechuyev to see the lightning or hear the thunder, but if you do, you say the Birkas HaShavach. It doesn't have to do with the Chiyuv. So if a woman is encountered, that's where B'chaim, the Heftah Shel Torah. It's not the Chiyuv of learning. You encounter the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the gift of Talmud Torah. You encounter, you rendezvous with the divine over a block Gemara, rendezvous with the divine through learning a Pasuk of Chumash. Wow. And as Ramban points out, it's you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this gift. And he had said, based on the Shach V'tar and Daf Chaf Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a gift through which I can be Zochet Olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the greatest gift, the capacity to lead my life well. Wow. That calls for that's a Birkas Shavach V'Hodah. It's not that I'm mechuyev to learn. It may be true that I'm mechuyev to learn also, But that's not what's going on. This encounter, this experience, is a bracha, the experience of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning. It's a bracha, the experience of enjoying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest gift to his people. Oh, that calls for a bracha. So once you see Birkas, if you see Birkas HaTorah as a Birkas Shavva Hodah, not a Birkas HaMitzvah, so then Shulchan Aruch is very consistent. So on the one hand, Nashim Evarchu is Birkas HaTorah. Not for the reason that the Augur said, not because the Ashkenazi position that you make a Birkas HaMitzvah on a mitzvah that you choose to volunteer. Because it's a Shav Birkas Shavva Hodah. And how about the Hirur? How about the Hirur? And how about the Hirur? And how about the question of Mikra? Why would there be no Birkas HaTorah on Hirur? According to Shulchan Aruch, why would there be no Birkas HaTorah? Why would Birkas HaTorah be limited to Mikra, according to some Amoraim, and according to Ben Yonah, according to all Amoraim? Why is it really about Mikra? Torah is Torah. I'm not Makai Mitzvah Talmud Torah. If I'm learning Torah Shvapeh, no? What do you say?
Hirur is more abstract. It's not something tangible.
Oh, Gevaldik. The Gross said, what do you mean you're Makai the Mitzvah? The Machara might say, of course you're Makai the Mitzvah, but it's not as intense an experience. It's almost like if you look at a picture of lightning, if you look at a picture of the Alps, you don't make a Osama Sabratius. Even if you go on Google Earth, even if you put on those immersive glasses and you have a virtual experience, you have a virtual experience at Grand Canyon, you can also safely dive into the Grand Canyon. And you won't actually, you'll be frightened, you won't actually hurt yourself on the bottom. I could experience it, but it's still not the same as actually seeing it. It's still not the same as actually seeing it. Much as Meta might want to convince, much as Meta may have billions of dollars riding on convincing you that this is as good, if not better, but Eino Doma. Loosely speaking, Eino Doma Shmuel Uriya. So hear her, of course you're Mekayim Talmud Torah. But what the way these Achronim explain their Shulchan Aruch is, of course you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but it's not as rich a encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm being passive. If I'm not speaking and I'm not writing, even though my mind is racing, Talmud Torah, yes. Kinyan of the learning, again, you call the learning probably better also when you talk and when you write and when you're multimodal. But it's more than that. It's not as rich an experience. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says it's not as rich an experience. So are you Mekayim Talmud Torah? But it's not something that's going to call for a bracha. Or Mikra versus Torah Shel Peh. Now the Mishnah is Yavetz, he has it very complicated. He brings this as well, since the Birkas Hananin, there's a whole, the Lumdus, that very complicated pilpul, I should say. But since Tosus says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to accept Torah Shel Peh, so it's like, if you're eating something you're forced to eat, you'll make a bracha. We'll leave all that out. The Derech HaMelech is Torah Shavichsav and Torah Shaper are the same mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but you can certainly make the argument that when I actually sit down and read the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly dictated to Moshe, or even when I read the words that came from the mouth and the pen of a man who was inspired by Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I read the words of Chagai Hanavi, which I look forward to doing this tomorrow night, starting a series in the shul, a mini-series from now until Purim, Chagai Zechar Malachi, three Nevi'im who are contemporaries of Mordechai, and we're talking about Gullus and Geula and Shuva, all in the shadow of the Nes of Purim. Maybe a good perspective on making sense of Purim in Tavshin Pei Dalv. And last night I sat down with yesterday afternoon in the Beis Marish to read the words of Chagai Hanavi. Wow! The words of Ravina or Rashi, of a Rajba, are absolutely Talmud Torah, are absolutely part of our Masorah, are absolutely Chachmei HaTorah unpacking Ratzon Hashem, Torah Shel Peh. But Is there a greater, could you argue that there's a greater degree of more direct, just like when you're thinking and learning avad, you're learning, but the experience of encounter is richer when it's physically expressed. You could also make the argument that the experience of encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is richer when you're mamish reading the words, Dvar Hashem mamish, these words, not just the ideas expressed by an Amora. These words were mamish dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These words were the direct result of a Nevuah experience. That's a more direct encounter, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the same mitzvah. The MS is the same MS. But the degree of encounter, the experience, Tosh B'Chsav is different. So that's why there are, and what does that mean, by the way? That means that there were Amoraim who held that the Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaVodah, the experience. They said only Mikra, or they said Mikra and Medrash. Then you get to Rava, just using our Girsa for the names, then you get to Rava, and Rava says Talmud also, and what happens there? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, also the same. Even Talmud is related to Mikra. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. But Rashi and the Rambam say, no. At this point, we made a fundamental shift. Rav is saying, I disagree with your whole premise. It's not about Torah Shebichsav per se. It's not about the experience, about the encounter. It's about learning Torah, perhaps specifically the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's why Rashi and the Rambam say, Rav is disagreeing fundamentally. It's not about Torah Shebichsav. It's about Limud HaTorah. Maybe the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is across the board. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebapeh, it's all the same thing. In other words, Shulchan Aruch says no Birkas HaTorah. The Gra says there is. That's because the Gra thinks it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, while the Shulchan Aruch thinks it's a Bracha and a Chefza. Sephardi women, the Gra thinks that Sephardi women should not make a Birkas HaTorah because he thinks it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. But Machaber thinks that even Sephardi women should make a Birkas HaTorah because it's a Berachah of Avodah. Torah Shebaal Peh. Or let's put it differently. Does it have to do the etzem, fundamentally, do you need mikra in order to make a Birkas HaTorah? So Ben Yonah says, yes. But Rashi, the Rambam, say, well, it was the machlokas in the Gemara, and the maskana, no. Ben Yonah says, yes, because it's Kippur Shabbat. Rashi and Rambam say, no, it's maybe other Amoraim held the Birkas HaShavach, but the Maskana is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Now, what's interesting about this, specifically, and I'll take more questions in a moment, this comes from where? Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Remember, Reb Chaim had pointed out that this whole Birkas HaShevach idea, the Bracha on the Chefza, it explains a consequence of Bracha on the Chefza is we understand why Sephardi women would make a Birkas HaTorah. The source of it was the source of saying it's a Bracha on the Chefza. Reb Chaim said, well, of course it's a Bracha on the Chefza because after we learn it from Shem Shem Echo HaVagol Elokeinu, right? After all, think about that language. You're giving Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're Korei Bishmo, Kishem Hashem Ekra. Doesn't sound like it's about the Chiv of Talmud Torah. That's what Reb Chaim presumably is saying. That drasha sounds very much like it's a bigger shah of Avodah. And you're encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to respond with praise. And indeed, you look some of that current point, I look at the back of the Ramban. He didn't say anything about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He said, we have a Chiv to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we encounter the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us of how to live right so that we can be Novel Chayal Mahava. You got to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That doesn't sound like a Birkas HaMitzvah. That sounds like a Birkas Shevach. So this is very much the Ramban and the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. You know what's interesting about the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph? What it does, what it says, and where it's not said. It seems to indicate, as Reb Chaim points out, as the Ramban quotes it, this is a big Hashem of Adar, Brach, Mitzvah Dar. What does that Gemara tell me? Two things. Mitzvah Daraisa, big Hashem of Adar. Remember we said before that all these strange curiosities by the way the Rambam avoids Birkas HaTorah and downplays Birkas HaTorah, right? Open up your Rambam again. What he does say of Birkas HaTorah, you have it on the first page of the Maamar Kamos, the first version of the Maamar Kamos. Right? He does not mention Birkas HaTorah in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He does not mention Birkas HaTorah in Hilchos Brachos. Right? He should have. One of the two shuv says there are two mitzvahs, Brachos Daraisa. He doesn't count it as a mitzvah. What does the Rambam quote here, by the way? Halacha yid halacha yid al. If he quotes the dinim of Birkas HaTorah, what does he tell me? Number one, if you get a mashkim likrish b'torah kom shikr kriyashma, ben kar tar shiluchsa, ben kar tar shapeh, you wash your hands, you have to say three brachas. Where does that come from? What source in Chazal? We've said in the past. Every line in the Rambam, as he tells us, he's always quoting Chazal. Some source in the Chazal. What's he quoting? He already quoted two different dinim. What is this? Mashkim is dafka before Abba Rabba and Bein Torah Shebechsav, Bein Torah Shvapeh. Actually, a third din, the Gimel Brachas. Where does that come from? Where all those three dinim come from? Daf? Which daf in Brachas do you have the din of dafka that's mashkim before you're learning before Abba Rabba? What daf does that come from? Daf Yidal. Number two, the din of Bein Tar Shidachsav, Bein Tar Shrapeh. He's passing like Rava. What daf is that on? Daf Yidal. Number three, the fact that these three brachas, and that we say all three, where daf does that come from? Daf Yidal. Fascinating. Do you realize what the Ram did? He only quotes Daf Yidal. He leaves out Daf Chafalf. Chalfal says that Birkas HaTorah is Doraisa. And the Rambam totally leaves that. The Ramban's whole shpar, we look back at the Ramban, he quotes Dafka, Daf, Chalfal. His whole discussion is Daf, Chalfal. He has Yerushalmi also that supports, that's aligned with the Bavli and Daf, Chalfal, that Birkas HaTorah is Doraisa. That's all he talks about. The Ramban is all about Daf, Chalfal. Why did Ramban leave out Daf Yud Aleph? Why didn't the Ramban tell me about, this is not totally a trick question. Why didn't the Ramban call Daf Yud Aleph to tell me, you know, Ava Rabba sometimes works, to tell me, Bein Tkar Tarsh Tarif Sav, Dein Tarsh Vapeh? Why did he quote Daf Yud Aleph to tell me about the details of the Nusach HaBracha? Why didn't the Ramban quote any of Daf Yud Aleph? Because, think about genre. Right, because this is Minyan HaMitzvah. He's not giving you all the details of the dinim. He's demonstrating that this is a mitzvah doraisa. So what do you need to know in order for it to be? I don't need every last detail of the dinim. There's a place for that. This is not the place. But what do you need to do in a sefer mitzvah? You have to demonstrate that it is a mitzvah. What are the rules by which the Rambam and the Ramban are counting mitzvahs? So I mentioned the Rambam has... Rambam has his 14 sharashim, 14 criteria, and we said, we got started with this, that the three most famous names in the world of Minyan HaMitzvahs are Bahag, Rambam, Ramban. And the Rambam structures his Sefer HaMitzvahs in part as an attack on the Bahag, because he feels like the Bahag was very haphazard. Bahag got to 613, but he thinks that the Bahag was very non-methodical. Sometimes he can't count this, he doesn't count that. No, the Rambam felt that there was no rhyme or reason. Ramban says, excuse me, the Bahag knew what he was doing also. Okay, but the Rambam is over, Rambam has 1,001, well not 1,001, remember? He has many, many, many specific hasagos on the Bahag, but the meta hasaga that the Rambam has in the Bahag is, it's not methodical. He hasn't, in an organized fashion, defined what a mitzvah is, and then coherently, consistently counted based on that. So that's what the Rambam has three chalakim to his Sefer HaMitzvahs. Chelak Beis is 248 mitzvahs asay. Chelak Gimel is 365 mitzvahs los asay. So what's in Chelak Aleph? Before he can count mitzvahs, Chelak Aleph is 14 sharashim, 14 criteria by which you define a mitzvah. Should I count it? Should I not count it? Should I count it as four? Should I count it as one? Rambam begins with, here are the 14 rules, through 14 criteria, through which you look at any get. He said, there are 1,000,001 dinim, only 613 mitzvahs, so I have to figure out what, I have to define a mitzvah. And take a look here. Shoresh Aleph, the first of the 14 rules, literally the roots, the first of the 14 criteria by which you separate not the men from the boys, but the mitzvahs from the non-mitzvahs. Number one, she'ein ro'oi limnos b'klaze ha-mitzvos she'ein drabanan. In this group, this class, this klal, this listing of tarag mitzvahs, we're not going to count drabanans. And he goes on to say, that's the most fundamental rule. Because after all, as he quotes in the Gemara in Makkos, tarag mitzvahs nemru l'moshe m'sinai. We're only talking about nemru l'moshe m'sinai. Of course Jews are obligated to keep drabanans, but they're not mitzvos. There are many dinim which are not mitzvos. Mitzvos means number one, daraisa. He goes on to say mitzvos means number two, Torah shebichsav. Something that's only from the Torah shebapeh is absolutely binding, but not a mitzvah. He goes on to say rule number three is, you know, even you might have something which is a pasuk in chumash. And teis yadcha yamu v'ka'elu. Gosh Baruch tells Moshe, go to the Yamsuf and take the staff and wave it over the Yamsuf. So if I were to go nowadays to the Yamsuf, if I dug up Moshe Rabbeinu's staff and I went to the Yamsuf, even I found the right spot, and I stood there and waved the staff on the Kayam Mitzvah, no. If I get the Yamsuf to split, that would be an incredible lace, but it still will not be a Kayam Mitzvah. It might be a miraculous way of dealing with the Houthis in Ach Shemam, but it still wouldn't be a Kayam Mitzvah in Teis Yadcha Yamu V'Ka'ehu. Because that's a horror, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, it's a doraisa, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, but it's a horasha. It was only temporary. Not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, not to leave over the mun until tomorrow. Even if I manage to find some mun, I have no Easter against leaving over until tomorrow. It was temporary. So Rambam goes on to give a total of, so that's rule number three, is it has to be a mitzvah doros, not a horasha. Rule number two is it has to be in the Chumash and not Torah Shema Peh. Rule number one, again, he goes all the way to 14, but rule number one is the number one, the first rule is, when I say Tariag Mitzvahs, I mean Tariag Mitzvahs de Oraisa. So if something is Drabanan, it's incredibly important and totally binding, but it's not going to be counted as a mitzvah. Which is why the Ramban is not interested in giving every last detail. This isn't the place for that. This isn't a comprehensive Sefer Halachos. This is a Sefer HaMitzvahs. I'm determining what's a mitzvah. So what I need to prove, this is a mitzvah d'oraisa pasuk in the Chumash. Shorash Aleph, Shorash Beis. That's what the Ramban says. Daf Chaf Aleph. It's a d'oraisa based on pasuk in the Chumash. It's Torah Shebichsav. That's it. What would the Ramban say? Why Taka wasn't accounted? You know what the Ramban would say?
Yeah.
Daf Chaf Aleph.
This is how some Acharon put it. Or, this is understanding how some Acharon put it.
On Daf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara says it's Daraisa. That's once a Birkas Shabbat Vahodah. But on Daf Yud Aleph, you don't necessarily get that impression. On Daf Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, it sounded a lot. The Rambam only quotes Daf Yud Aleph. He never quotes Daf Chaf Aleph. He left it out entirely. That's why it didn't count as a mitzvah. Because the Rambam seems to have understood that there's a machlokas hasugis between Daf Chafar and Daf Yudav. Daf Chafar presents that this is a mitzvah daraisa. And that was the approach of the earlier Amoram, of Rav, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan, the early Amoram, and Daf Chafar from Rav. They held that Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah daraisa. That's how you darshan. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokin. The Gemaras elsewhere have other understandings of Kishem Hashem Ekra. And I would suggest, and there are achronim who make it sound like this, that the Rambam said, yeah, but you get back to Daf Yud Aleph, that seems to have been a machlokas Amoraim. Some of the early Amoraim said, it's a bigger shach vahoda. But then Rava said, no, it's not true. It's not true. It's a bigger mitzvah. Was it matter mikra or Torah Shel Peh? The mitzvah is a mitzvah. So yeah, there was such a sheet on Daf Chaval, but it's rejected on Daf Yulav. It's not a Birkas HaVodah, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. The Rambam may also have been taken by the fact that also on Daf Yulav, the Gemara has a debate about what the Nusach HaBracha is, and we accept that one of the things we say is Asher Kiddushon Sosav V'Tzivanim, which sounds a lot like a Birkas HaMitzvah. So some would suggest maybe the different brachas. Minchas Chinuch says maybe one is the Birkas HaMitzvah, one is the Birkas Sharif HaHodah. But the Rambam seems to have seen on Daf Yud Aleph an indication that the later Amoraim rejected the idea that it's a Birkas Sharif HaHodah, which means they rejected the idea it's a bracha daraisa. No, it's not a bracha daraisa. It's not a bracha daraisa. Shagas Aryeh, as we mentioned, thinks even the Sugya and Daf Chaf with the Hirur doesn't seem to you have to figure out, but earlier in the sugi, we don't seem to be bothered by, you have to make sure to make the Baal Kari has to somehow make your Birkas HaTorah. So it seems like the Rambam would say, the later Amorah, there's a machlokas Amorahim, whether Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah or not, a Bracha Darais or not. So yeah, the earlier Amorahim, Daf Chafal Fam Nav, held that it's a Birkas HaShevel Darais, the basic Hashem HaShem Ekra Vagal Elokeinu. But the Rambam says, but I think that's a machlokas. It's true, that's Chafalof. We don't paskin that way. We paskin like Rava. We paskin like Rav Papa. We paskin like the later Amoraim, the Maskana of Daf Yud Aleph. So the Rambam said, it's a machlokas, Daf Yud Aleph, and Daf Papal, and Kedargo, when you have a machlokas asugis, the Rambam is calling to say, let's figure out which one we paskin like, and being that, in the Mishnah Torah, he's not writing Chidushim on Shas, he's writing over Piskei Dinim, so a shita that he doesn't Paskin-like just doesn't appear. He just, as we know, he's consistent that way. He quotes the Shita of Paskin-like, and that's it. 99 times out of 100, everyone's a long, long, long while. He'll mention there was a machlokas Paskin this way. The vast majority of the time, there's a machlokas, he just quotes, the din is X, period. That's exactly what I'm doing. So as I said, it's what Daf Chaf Aleph says, and it's what's not said about Daf Chafav. The Rambam was mashmit Daf Chafav. He was mashmit, that's why he didn't count it. He actually doesn't have any reference whatsoever to Daf Chafav, because he didn't pass through that way. And that is consistent all the way through. That what really emerges is that there's a machlokas already. Rambam, how to put the Gemaras together. And the Rambam saw in all of this that the Rambam said, look, we have Daf Chaf Aleph, and there's no reason to doubt that. There's no machlokas about it. Daf Chaf Aleph is accepted in Chaladeus. So, Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and Sefer Echad, he said, agrees with the Rambam. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And then you get Daf Yud Aleph, so handle all the details. And that's consistent, by the way, with the way you have to figure out if the Ramban himself holds this way. But since Ramban's peer and Mechutin, Rabbeinu Yonah, the way Rabbeinu Yonah understands the Gemara and the details of the question about Mikra are consistent with the, as we said, with the Birkas Shavach approach. And the Shulchan Aruch seems, as Reb Chaim and the Minchas Chinuch point out, Shulchan Aruch seemed to have accepted that and applied that to halacha. If it's a Birkas Shavach, So then on the one hand, even though it is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you make a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you mahar, but it's not the same cheftz, not the same encounter with the cheftz of Torah. It's not the same experience, so there's no bracha. And on the other hand, the Mechaber assumes that it's a birka shevach, and therefore, Sephardi women who volunteer to learn should make a bracha. It's not a birka mitzvah. Well, the Rambam, the Gra seems to be aligned with the Rambam. That's fundamentally, primarily, a birka mitzvah. The Asher Kishon, the source of the Tzivanu Nusach, is telling, is dispositive, does indicate that it's a birkas mitzvah, and for the Rambam, that as well as perhaps the way the Rambam understood the maskana of Afla Talmud, that it's a fundamental shift in how we understand birkas Torah, that means we reject Daf Chavav. And there were Amoraim who thought there was a birkas shava, is the bracha daraisa birkas shava. Birkas mitzvah is always Rabban. Daraisa havo golo lokeinu birkas shava daraisa. Rambam says, yeah, but you get the Daf Yudalf, you discover that we don't pass in that way. There was such a day in Daf Chaval. There was such a day in the Yerushalmi. Okay. But Machlok Samarom, we don't pass in that way. And then the Grub, the Rambam follows up in how he quotes the whole idea of Mikra is totally gone lemastana, Beitar Shemzad, Beitar Shemzad. And the fact that the Grub assumes that hearers should require a bracha, because after all it's a mitzvah, and that the Grub assumes that the Machlokas about the women making brachas should apply, Ashkenaz and Sephardim should apply here as well. That also is consistent with this approach. We'll take questions and then one final larger thought. Yes? Yeah.
So, this is going back quite a few minutes. I just wanted to, when we were talking about the idea of the interaction being increased when it's like physically reading something as opposed to Herhor. Does it not make sense to say that it's much easier if you have like a sefer open in front of you, it's much easier to just like be reading it without thinking about it at all. You can just be reading through the sefer and not putting in any thought to it and not.
It's probably just sitting and thinking.
Yeah. Whereas if you are intentionally thinking about Torah, then I feel like automatically you are having more of an intense experience than like the average experience of reading, which could be very thoughtful.
That's an interesting point. And I should say that I think that the Shulchan Aruch would agree with you. If I'm silently learning a sefer, that's also hear her. He only requires a bracha when you're either speaking or writing. If you're just reading a sefer silently, that's called here, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Agreed. Absolutely. I think you're right. The fact that I'm interacting with a physical sefer doesn't in and of itself raise it to the level of the type of intense experience that requires a bracha. Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
What's the basis that they have for thinking about Torah being lesser than reading it or writing it?
Okay, so now you're sort of pushing on a thread that I had not addressed in talk to Yitzi. Let me rephrase your question. Nasata d'vrecha l'shiurim. By what barometer are you gonna measure like how much of an experience it is? It has to be 5 points of experiential value. Like, how do you know? By what units? Experience. This is only 4 experience. That's not, but that's 6 experience. That's more. So how do you mashire this? If I'm talking about a maisa achila, okay. So I can look at, is the volume of food more or less in a kazais? But how are you mashire an experience? That's a good question. This had come up in the Stipler's comments on Techemda and Taiva. And I think that's why actually you do need to have some sort of the halakha is going to have to give you categories, somewhat sturdy categories you can use to approximate, the degree of experience. So that's why Hero Kedibur might be the gross as well. Why is Hero Kedibur relevant? Irrelevant. We're not talking here. We're not talking about mitzvah of Dibur. Yeah, but it could be. There is a larger you know, pan-halachic concept of a maisa. Certain things are only applied to a maisa. You only get malchus if it's a maisa. You only bring a carbon chatzah if it's a maisa. Halacha does broadly speak about more active, intensive, engaging mitzvahs or averus versus less engaged mitzvah averus. We do differentiate between lav sheish b'maisa, lav sheish b'maisa. So here we do sometimes differentiate between dibur here. So there is already more broadly in Habachal Tarakula, there is already a sense of thinking about more or less engagement. There's maisa, and then there's non-maisa. Dibur tends to be in between. We're discussed in different places. If I do a lav by speaking, do I get malchus? If I do a lav by speaking, can I bring carbon chatas? And the Gemara has some dibur somewhere in between. So it actually, the Hiruk HaDibur discussion that we don't see, is when you say Kriya Shema, you don't have to act out the Kriya Shema, but you do have to speak the Kriya Shema. And that involves a certain amount of engagement in Ikari Amuna. I don't have to act out Birkas HaMazon, even though kids like to, but I am a chayv to say Birkas HaMazon, because that's more engagement in being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in gratitude to Rebbeinu Shlom, than merely letting the ideas flip through my head. So the fact that Hiro Lav Kedibur Dami is a halachic detail. It also captures a larger concept, which is that saying things is more active engagement with the ideas than merely thinking them. There's a reason why being Maharer is, I'm not Mekayim the same way I'm Mekayim when I'm Medaber. So it's that same idea which is relevant here. It's not relevant to the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's relevant to the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Kriya Shema Birkas HaMazon. But it's going to be relevant to being Mishari. This is toward an experience that calls for Birkas HaTorah. So that's why that's probably what's going on with the Hiruk HaDibur being relevant to this larger point. And you bring us to one final closing point, which is Vali. As we saw with Birkas Erusin, so too here, exploring the nature of the bracha can tell me something about the nature of the thing itself. And here, I would suggest considering that while there might be a machlokas whether the Birkas HaTorah is a bracha on the mitzvah or a bracha on the chefza, a bracha on the experience, and again, this is what to be said as the Minchas Chinuch did for, or maybe there may be a blend of both. You know, you have the different brachas, one is a Birkas HaMitzvah, one is a Birkas HaShavach. But even if it seems largely like on the level of halacha, you have to choose, am I looking at Birkas Shevach or Birkas HaMitzvah? Maybe am I looking at Birkas Shevach Daraisa or Birkas HaMitzvah Drabanan? But both, in terms of what Talmud Torah is, both are certainly accurate perspectives. In other words, Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, and Talmud Torah is also much more than only a chiyuv. There is a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, and at the same time, when I engage with Talmud Torah, I am having a potential, I open the door to a powerful encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Nedarim that I put at the end of my Makomos, Gemara Nedarim Daf Pei Aleph, you've probably heard a quote in the past if you haven't seen it inside. So the Gemara says, a very surprising comment, that Shelo Birchu BaTorah Tchila is the reason why the Churban have. Churban Bayit Beis HaMikdash happened because Jews weren't saying Birkas HaTorah, which is a rather shocking. Not saying Birkas HaTorah is a violation, maybe a violation of a Daraisa, but and that's certainly heinous. But there were probably many other Daraisas that were violating too. Why is that unique? Not just a one of the Tarag mitzvahs, but like the seems disproportionate. So the Ran there says, it's not just about the Chiyuv of saying Birkas HaTorah, it's that when I say Birkas HaTorah, they may correspond also with this Ramban. Saying Birkas HaTorah reminds me of the gift of Torah, and that this is not just, you know, intellectually intriguing, but this is an encounter with the divine. We'll wrap it together with an Agadata in Titus. I heard this, if I remember correctly, I heard this from Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky many, many years ago. B'shem Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He said the following. The Gemara in Tainus says, based on a pasuk in Yishai, I think it's maybe Perek Nun Hei, that Torah is nimshal l'gimel mashkin. Torah is compared to three different drinks. Mayim, Yayin, and Chalav. Torah is compared to water. Yeshayahu calls Torah water. Yeshayahu calls Torah wine. Yeshayahu calls Torah milk. So the Gemara seems to say that those somehow are like a threesome. There's a trio. The Torah is significant to all three together. Now, if you mix all three together, you get some sort of wine shake, which does not sound particularly appealing. So what's the Gemara driving at? Well, it's not just pointing out a pasuk. Yeshayahu wasn't just saying it. Yeshayahu meant something. The Gemara means something. So what's the significance? So if Aaron suggested that water is a necessity, milk is a necessity for infants. Wine is the opposite. You can lead a long, healthy life without having any wine whatsoever. But wine is a symbol of luxury, of living the good life. More than just what I need. And what the Gemara is saying is Talmud Torah is business and it is pleasure. Talmud Torah is a necessity. I can't live spiritually without Talmud Torah. Much as we saw very last week in Maseilas Yesharim. I can't grow spiritually without Torah. It's something that I need. I can't live physically without water. I can't live spiritually without Talmud Torah. I'll become spiritually dehydrated. I'll become spiritually desiccated if I have a life without Torah. At the same time, Talmud Torah is much more than just a need. It's also a spiritual luxury. It's a spiritual pleasure. If you're hiking and it's a long, hot hike, you have another hour left, and the only water you have left is water that was not insulated, and the water is not hot and not cold, it's like that warm, where it's like, right? So it's not pleasant, but you're going to drink it because the alternative is to become dehydrated. It's not going to be pleasurable, but it's absolutely life-giving. The ideal is to have fresh, cold, icy water, which is both the speaking to the necessity and also providing pleasure and luxury. So Rav Volba writes, in I think the opening parak of Al Eshur, he says, I can't learn Torah just because I enjoy it. If you only learn because it's geshmak, says that that's not sustainable. Because everyone oscillates and everyone goes through ups and downs of moods. Everyone cycles. No one's going to always be on fire. No one's going to always be pumped and motivated. And if you only learn because you're pumped and motivated, this is super geshmak, then the day that it's not super geshmak, you're not going to learn. So Rav Volba says, you need to recognize, I don't just learn because it's geshmak. I learn because I need it. This is the water to keep me spiritually hydrated. Ideally, I should be drinking cold, icy water and gain geshmak from learning. But if all I have is hot water, I'm going to drink the hot water because it's what I need. That's what Volba says. Yeah, every yeshiva bachar goes through ups and downs and times when you're on fire and times you're not. And you have to recognize at least the basic siddurim have to be consistent whether I'm feeling it or not. I have to learn out of a sense of tzorech. Ideally, I tap into the not only the water and milk of learning, but the wine of learning also. And ideally, I tap into the geshmak. But there needs to be a consistency based on the water and the milk. And he says, the more consistent I am, even when I'm not feeling the geshmak, over time, the less frequently I won't feel that geshmak. The more consistent I am, over time, the more consistent the geshmak will be. So that's really the water and the milk is the chiyuv. The wine is the encounter, is the birkas hashavach, or as the disciple puts it, the birkas hanenim. So there's the philosophy of the halacha. In lamdus of the machlokas, whether birkas haTorah is a birkas hashavach or birkas hanenim, as the disciple puts it, versus is it a birkas hamitzvah. But in the philosophy of the halacha, it is both. There is the business and the pleasure of Talmud Torah. And there's a chiyuv, and it's an incredible joy. Sometimes I don't feel the joy, and I will learn anyways because it's the water of my spiritual life that I need. But I want to tap into it. As the Ran says, recognizing the power of Birkas Torah as a Birkas HaShavach is one of the ways, if starting tomorrow I try to put my mind in drive when I say Birkas HaTorah, to remember this is an incredible gift. It's something I'm obligated to do. It's Tzivanu and Kidshanu. Asher Bachar Banu, Vaharivna. It's an incredible gift. I'm encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's something that I'm obligated to do. And the Birkas HaTorah can awaken me to appreciate both halves, both sides of the coin, the business and the pleasure of Talmud Torah.